Okay, let's get into this. We're doing a deep dive today, but maybe not the kind you'd expect. We're looking past the official press releases, you know, the shiny brochures.
Yeah, we're digging into something much more raw, the real-time human reaction to a huge new project.
Exactly. The Elizabeth Line in London. Specifically, how people were talking about it right after it opened, back in May 2022.
And our source material for this is, well, it's brilliant. It's basically an informal online forum thread. Just people throwing out their first impressions, their opinions, sometimes quite wild anecdotes about using the line.
So the mission here is to kind of cut through the official story, you know, get to the ground level.
Yeah.
What did it actually feel like to ride it for the first time?
What were the real practical changes people noticed straight away? The design, things they liked or didn't like?
And honestly, just the sheer color of it all, the human side that you always get with these big public things.
It's about what people were really talking about minute by minute as soon as those train doors slid open.
And right off the bat, the sources show this real buzz, don't they? A proper sense of anticipation building up to the opening day, May 25th, 2022.
Oh, absolutely. You could feel it. People were genuinely, like, eager to just get on it and see it.
To the point of making up reasons to travel.
Yeah, some were. Talking about, you know, maybe needing a trip to the Albert Hall just as an excuse to use the new line.
Huh, that's dedication. Just wanting to sort of tick it off the list.
Exactly. But it wasn't just novelty, was it? There was real excitement about actual journey improvements.
Like what specifically?
Well, getting from Whitechapel to Canary Wharf came up a lot. People saying it totally changed that journey.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And the idea of getting to Heathrow quickly, especially if you were coming from East London, that was a big deal for a lot of commenters.
So it's this mix, isn't it? The shiny new toy excitement, but also the promise of genuine practical benefits for day-to-day travel. A real feeling that something big had arrived.
And that promise, well, it seemed to deliver for quite a few specific routes people were mentioning.
Give us some examples from the forum then. What journeys got easier or faster?
Okay, so getting to Reading with just one change from central London, that was mentioned.
Right.
Although interestingly, that also kicked off a bit of a debate later on about whether it was actually faster than just taking National Rail. So nuance even there.
Okay, so not always clear cut, but for journeys within London or connecting outwards?
Definitely seems significant there. People highlighted things like Soho to Ealing in just 17 minutes. That kind of speed felt, well, pretty dramatic.
17 minutes, wow.
Yeah. And getting to the ABBA Arena, if you were coming from the west side of London, was described simply as a piece of piss.
Huh. Okay, you can't really argue with feedback that direct.
Yeah.
Peak efficiency review.
Exactly. And for commuters, say, working in the West End, the new direct routes out via Tottenham Court Road, that was seen as a massive improvement. Better than, you know, faffing around changing at Waterloo or battling the Central Line.
Yeah, it sounds like a big part of the appeal was cutting out all that time, scurrying around underground, changing lines, someone put it. Just smoother, more direct travel.
And what's really interesting, alongside the big stuff like speed and convenience, was this very simple, practical thing people were buzzing about.
What was that?
Being able to actually get a phone signal down there on the trains.
Oh, right. Yeah, we kind of take that for granted now, maybe. But back then, on a brand new deep line, that was a novelty.
It really was a big win. It captures that contrast, doesn't it? Futuristic transport, but also just basic connectivity working properly.
Totally. Okay, let's shift to the look and feel. The trains, the stations.
Yeah.
What were the first impressions like?
Generally, pretty positive. You saw words like swish, modern, European being used quite a bit for the overall vibe.
Sounds good, but I get the feeling it wasn't universal praise for the aesthetics.
No, not entirely. While the general feel was modern, there was this one user who had a very specific take on the trains themselves.
No.
They felt all the gray used inside made them look a bit Soviet.
Soviet, wow. From modern European to a bit Soviet, that's quite the range of opinion. Shows how subjective design is, I guess.
Absolutely. And the critiques weren't just about looks. There were some practical design niggles people pointed out, especially at the big interchanges.
Like where?
Paddington and Liverpool Street were mentioned. Apparently the signs, initially anyway, made it look like you had to get off your train and then get back on the same service on a different platform. Bit confusing.
Ah, yes. I think I remember reading about that. Before the through Reading was fully in place, definitely a confusing user experience point.
Yeah, but The really strong negative feelings, design-wise, seem to focus on Tottenham Court Road Station.
Ah, TCR. Yeah. Always controversial. What were people saying? Lay it on us.
Well, horrible, suffocating, out of place. Those were some of the words flying around.
Ouch.
The feeling seemed to be that the whole station building felt sort of jammed into the spot, you know, without enough breathing room around it.
And specific design choices got called out too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Big time. There was a real dislike for these things on the walls people called the PlayStation buttons.
PlayStation buttons.
Yeah, these circular motifs. Described as ugly and crucially looking dated from day one, which is not ideal for a brand new station.
No, that's a harsh verdict. Dated on day one. Shows the challenge of aiming for modern, I suppose. It can miss the mark quickly.
It really can. And people were definitely holding it to a high standard. There were functional issues, too, apparently.
Gotcha.
There was a specific mention of a glass ceiling area somewhere in the station that was cordoned off for months.
Oh, dear. Why?
Because, according to the Post, cracks started to appear, which led one user to bluntly call the whole thing fucking amateurish.
Right. Yeah, cracking glass doesn't exactly scream swish in modern, does it? Undermines the image a bit.
Just a bit. Oh, and one other little quibble about TCR. Someone felt the entrance was unnecessarily high. Don't require that height, was the quote. Just seemed excessive to them.
It's funny, the specific details people latch onto. Okay, let's hop over to Abbey Wood. Got a few mentions too, right? Sounds like expectations were managed.
Yeah, the comment was basically that the bar is very low for Abbey Wood, so maybe easier to impress.
Huh, maybe. What do people notice there?
Well, even with the low bar, specific things got flagged, like a nearby tropical-themed leisure center, apparently.
Okay.
And, very importantly, someone raised the question of whether the local Wimpy was still there.
Crucial local intel, the Wimpy status. Essential.
Absolutely. Mm. And there are personal connections, too. Someone mentioned their nan was born there, which adds a nice touch.
Yeah, it does. Anything else?
There was one very specific and slightly unusual mention of a private Dean Street entrance built for the gays.
Right. It's quite a specific observation. It stands out.
It certainly does. And, you know, despite the fancy new stations, there was still this sense that some of the areas immediately around them were still considered ghastly areas.
So the new line improves the journey itself, but maybe doesn't instantly transform the destination vibe everywhere.
Pretty much sums it up. Now, speaking of unique features, the diagonal lifts. They generated a ton of buzz initially, and maybe a little disappointment later.
Ah, yes, the wonkavators, the slanty lifts. What was the expectation there?
It was pretty high. The people seemed to be picturing something really futuristic, maybe like those lifts in the Luxor Hotel in Vegas, you know?
Yeah, I can picture that. Where were these lifts again?
Farringdon and Liverpool Street. And the rumors about them started swirling almost immediately.
And the rumors got a bit over the top, shall we?
Wildly over the top. There was this one completely bonkers claim about their speed. 90 militaro in milliseconds.
Milliseconds. That's not physically possible, surely.
Not even close. But that kind of hyperbole just fueled the imagination. It led to these amazing, though probably completely made up, stories about side effects.
Side effects. Oh, no. What kind?
Stories about people vomiting in terror and even bowel leakage, all supposedly due to the insane speed.
Good grief.
Yeah.
The power of rumor and suggestion is incredible.
Isn't it? And the forum posters even invented characters to deal with the fallout, specific TFL staff members.
Go on.
Named as Tubby Teddyus and Stout Stewart, or sometimes just the trademark Tubby TFL Beardo, supposedly on hand with mops and buckets, you know, for the cleanup.
Hmm. It paints such a vivid, if slightly disturbing, picture. But, okay, what was the reality like when people actually rode them?
Well, as often happens, the reality didn't quite live up to the crazy hype. People generally felt slightly underwhelmed.
Ah, how so?
They apparently looked a bit like a funicular,
yeah,
which, you know, is functional, but maybe lacks the sci-fi glamour of a Wonkavator.
Right. Less thrilling theme park ride, more swopey elevator.
Exactly. And adding to the slight letdown, people mentioned sometimes having to wait for the diagonal lifts.
Ah, the great leveler. Even fancy diagonal lifts involve queuing sometimes.
The eternal truth of public transport. So moving away from the physical bits, there was also quite a bit of chat about the line's actual identity, starting with the name.
Right. The name itself caused some debate.
Yes. Surprisingly heated. A lot of users really seem to prefer sticking with Crossrail, the project name, rather than the official Elizabeth line.
Interesting. And then the big question, is it actually a tube line or not?
Yeah, because so much of it is underground, it feels like the tube to many people, right? So it kind of blurred the lines of what tube means.
True.
But what's really fascinating, and shows you how deep people get into this stuff, was the whole issue around TFL's official style guide.
The style guide, what about it?
It apparently insisted on a lowercase L for the word line in Elizabeth line.
A lowercase L? Seriously, why did that cause such a fuss?
Oh, it really did. People thought it looked extremely odd, even blatantly wrong. It wasn't just about grammar, it felt inconsistent somehow.
Why inconsistent? What was the argument?
Well, people compared it to, say, the DLR. Everyone just calls it the DLR. Nobody says the Docklands Light Railway line.
Yep.
So Elizabeth line with a lowercase L just felt grammatically weird, like line wasn't properly part of the name, an arbitrary rule.
Wow. It's amazing how much passion a style guide decision can ignite.
It really shows how invested people get in the details, the language used around the systems they use every day.
Definitely. Okay, let's switch focus from the tracks and names to the people on the trains. The forum initially made this distinction, didn't it, between the enthusiasts and the, quote, normal people.
Yeah, that was the initial framing, sort of the weirdos who are obsessed with priceless details versus everyone else who is just thinking, oh, this is nice.
But the conversation seemed to gravitate towards the enthusiasts pretty quickly.
It really did. The sources are full of descriptions of the train spotters, the route geeks, train nerds, and the rather blunt term, neurodivergent train freaks.
Oof. The language is certainly colorful, direct.
Very. And the observations about them were quite specific, too. One person described seeing an awful lot of single men in raincoats carrying plastic bags on the first few trains.
Right. Paints a picture.
And someone mentioned hearing them singing parodies, like a version of Prince's Purple Rain, but called Purple Train.
Purple Train. Okay. That's commitment to the theme. Gives you a real sense of the opening day crowd.
And specific personalities from that transport enthusiast world got named and discussed.
Like who?
King Geoff came up quite a bit. Described as, you know, personable, but with a definite level of lunacy below him. Some people found him annoying. Apparently, he even had groupies.
Train spotter groupies.
Yeah.
That's a level of niche celebrity I hadn't really contemplated before.
It's a whole fascinating subculture around this stuff. In contrast, another figure, Jago Hazard, seemed to be preferred by some on the forum because he tended to stay off camera, seemed less about seeking attention.
Interesting dynamics. Were there other sort of notable characters people saw on those early rides? Besides the dedicated fans.
Yeah, the post mentioned seeing absolutely bizarre characters in general on opening day, just reflecting the huge public curiosity, I suppose. Someone even mentioned seeing a person incredibly dressed up as Chris Chan.
Wow, okay. And what about the staff? Did they get described?
Briefly, yeah. Mostly just fleeting physical descriptions. The trademark tubby TFL beardo phrase came up, and those specific names again, Tubby Tadeus and Stout Stewart, usually spotted in their orange hy-vees, just adds that slightly irreverent human observation touch.
Right. Okay, zooming out a bit now. People couldn't resist comparing the Elizabeth line to other transport systems, could they?
No, never. It's how users benchmark things, isn't it? See what they value. And the Paris Metro came in for quite a bit of flack as a negative comparison.
Ah, the poor Paris Metro. Often gets a tough time in London-centric forums. What were the specific complaints this time?
Oh, the usual suspects. Smelly only toilet, though someone did concede it had been spruced up a bit, being 50% busier than even the worst London stations.
Ouch.
Yeah. And 100% ruder, generally dirty and haughty and full of joyless people.
Goodness. Quite the review.
And the lack of phone signal across all the Paris Metro lines was definitely flagged as a minus point compared to the Lizzie line's connectivity.
So, compared to that perception of Paris, the Elizabeth line felt like a definite improvement. But was all French transport seen negatively?
No. Interestingly, the RER line in Paris actually got a positive comparison. Someone said the Elizabeth line felt very RERA, if you know what I mean.
RERA. How so?
Well, they pointed out the RERA is like one of the most successful, busiest lines in the world. So the comparison was more about it being a high capacity cross-city commuter line, not just a central metro.
Ah, okay. That casts it in slightly different light, thinking about its function.
Although it wasn't all positive for the RER either, someone shared an anecdote about a scary experience accidentally ending up on the RERB in the outskirts of Saint-Denis or La Plaine Stade de France. So, you know, swings and roundabouts with long suburban lines.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Back here in London, what other TFL lines did it get compared to?
The Jubilee line came up quite a bit, and that seemed to divide opinion sharply.
The Jubilee? Why?
Some users absolutely slated it, called its root bizarre, preposterous, even the worst line.
The worst line? Strong words? Why?
It seems the route it takes, especially after the extension, just doesn't work for everyone. But others jumped to its defense, calling it speedy. Its history got mentioned too, how it started as Bakerloo Relief, but then got transformed by the Canary Wharf extension.
Yeah, big infrastructure projects always seem to invite these comparisons with what came before, don't they? They're siblings and cousins on the network.
Exactly. The Northern Line got a quick mention too, just in passing, really.
Any other international comparisons that stood out besides Paris?
Just one positive one, actually. Someone mentioned the Lisbon Underground, describing it as a joy and saying the stations were like a gallery.
Nice. That suggests people are thinking quite broadly, globally even, about what makes a good transport experience.
They really are. And the comparisons weren't just limited to other train systems either.
Oh.
The conversation branched out to include things like the Woolwich Ferry, complete with mentions of seasickness.
On the Woolwich Ferry, it's only about 5 minutes across.
I know. Also, the DLR, the Overground, the tram line, even the cable car got name-checked.
A full house of London transport.
Pretty much. And beyond London, too. Someone mentioned attending a Merseyside bus convention where they got to ride old bus models. And doing the Acton TfL Depot tour, it just shows the sheer breadth of interest these forum users have in all kinds of transport.
It's clearly a community that's deeply, deeply immersed in the subject.
Oh, and one more comparison, maybe born from a bit of regional frustration.
Go on.
Someone brought up the Glasgow Crossrail project, describing it as blatantly never ever happening. A stark contrast, they felt, to London actually getting the Elizabeth line built and opened.
Ah, right. Nothing like highlighting your city's shiny new toy by pointing out someone else's project that's stuck in limbo. Classic.
A time-honored tradition.
So, okay, let's try and pull these threads together. We've got the initial excitement, the practical journey changes, the design debates, those unique diagonal lifts, the people watching the comparisons. What are the really key criticisms and quirks that kind of define this early user experience as captured in these forum posts?
Well, you definitely see those recurring practical gripes, like the signs at Paddington and Liverpool Street causing confusion about changing trains initially.
Right. And the strong, almost visceral negative reactions to some design choices, especially at Tottenham Court Road. That feeling of it being cramped, the hated PlayStation buttons, the whole saga with the cracking glass ceiling.
Yeah, that feeling that some bits just felt a bit fucking amateurish, whether it was the cracked glass or maybe the initial teething problems with signage.
And the diagonal lifts stand out, don't they?
Yeah.
As this perfect little case study of massive hype meeting a slightly underwhelming, more functional reality.
Definitely. On a purely practical level, people noted the initial limitation of it only running Monday to Saturday, no Sunday service at first.
Oh, yeah, that was actor.
And there was a bit of cynicism about its impact further out, like on Reading property prices. Users suggesting landlords would use it to justify ramp-up bedsit prices, even though the fare was the same as National Rail, and as we heard, the journey wasn't always quicker.
So, yeah, practical snags, aesthetic judgments, and even a sprinkle of socioeconomic commentary bubbling up.
Absolutely. But beyond those sort of concrete points, the sources are just brimming with these wonderfully weird, specific anecdotes. They really capture the raw, unfiltered flavor of the whole conversation.
Such as, remind us of the highlights. Or lowlights.
Well, there's the truly unforgettable image of a man apparently shitting on the stairs at Woolwich Station.
Right, yeah. Mm. Unforgettable is definitely the word for that one. Grim.
The random mentions of seasickness kept cropping up on the Woolwich Ferry, as we said. But also, bizarrely, someone mentioned feeling seasick in a hammock. Unrelated, but it was in the thread.
The hammock detail really elevates it somehow.
Then there were the jokes about Abbey Wood, specifically about donkeys potentially using the new line there.
Naturally.
Because.
Don't know. And maybe my favorite, the absolutely vital question raised mid-discussion. Would you find any pumpkins on the Elizabeth line?
Pumpkins, as in the actual vegetable on the train. Seems so. To which another user provided the definitive reassuring answer. You jolly well hope so. Clearly a crucial benchmark of service quality for at least one passenger.
You really do get the full spectrum of human concerns and priorities in these online forums, don't you?
You absolutely do. And maybe one final strand of critique, some people perceived broader negative consequences. Things like the destruction of perfectly good buildings to make way for the new stations.
Right, the price of progress.
And also a feeling that it was part of an effort to make places like Oxford Street posher, which annoyed some users who felt Oxford Street was supposed to be horrible anyway.
Huh. A sort of resistance to transport-led gentrification, maybe?
Mm.
Keep Oxford Street grungy?
Perhaps, exactly.
So looking back at this whole deep dive into that online forum, it paints a very different picture than, say, reading the official TFL press releases from the time.
Oh, completely. It's chaotic, it's colorful, it's deeply human. It's this amazing snapshot of a massive project landing right in the middle of real life. You get the genuine thrill and the appreciation for the good stuff, the speed, the convenience, the modern feel.
Yeah, that definitely comes through.
But it's right alongside these incredibly specific, granular complaints about design details, the debates about what to even call it, the fascination with quirky things like wonky lifts, and just observations about the whole wild mix of people using it.
It really hammers home that building something like this isn't just an engineering feat, is it? It's about how people immediately start interacting with it, talking about it, arguing about it, and weaving it into their daily lives and opinions. And that creates this incredibly rich, unfiltered stream of feedback.
Which does leave you with a question to think about, doesn't it? How does this kind of raw, messy, real-world experience, the one captured in these casual conversations, how does that stack up against the polished official narrative we usually get?
Yeah. And maybe digging even deeper, What does our collective fascination with public transport, both the good and the bad, the systems and the people, what does that ultimately say about us?
Something to ponder, perhaps, next time you're waiting for a train. Maybe contemplating the incline of a diagonal lift? Or just keeping an eye out for stray pumpkins?